Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:03 British Summer Time. Today is September 14th. Well, it's generally been a quiet day in stock markets. Wall Street closing out the day today, relatively steady. The S&P up a fifth of 1%, up 21 points. The S&P up just over 0.5%. Same for the Nasdaq. And the majority of European indices were down on the day, but less than half of 1%. And in Asia, the tone was generally easier, with the exception being China, which was positive on the day and continues to bounce from this area in the region of the 200-day moving average. Japan is a rather interesting case because of all the Asian markets. Japan has the Nikkei has rallied from give or take 7,000 and has been consolidating above or ranging above this 10,000 region now for about 6 weeks. But the contrary to the rest of the world, the Japanese bank sector has been really quite moribund. And as we've seen with the majority of indices around the world, a number of bank shares have done particularly well. And when we did those high-low reviews, I think it was back in July at this point, what was particular about Japan at the time was the fact that there were so few banks, and the two or three banks that turned up on the list of the entire topics were really quite small and very regional banks with a very select group of customers and not too much foreign exposure. But the TOPIX Banks Index continues to range lower within its base formation and hasn't broken upwards it at all. Whereas the rest of Asia, the bank sector has generally performed more or less in line with the overall stock market, and in a number of cases has outperformed. So Japan is a bit of a different case to the rest of Asia. And we see today that the Nikkei was down just over 2%, and it's coming back down towards this 10,000 level. Now, what we continue to see for a large number of these Asian stock markets is that they are among the best performing stock markets in the world, and that they've pushed upwards to new high ground in the last couple of weeks. Well, today we saw a little bit of pause in that powerful type activity, particularly from last week. So, for example, Indonesia pulled back a little bit in here today, more or less testing the upper side of the range. The same story with Malaysia, and Hong Kong is still very close to its highs, its recovery highs, but pausing a little bit in here. But the Nikkei hasn't been able to push upwards to new recovery highs in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's been ranging around this 10,000 level for 6 weeks, and it's now at 10,200. And if it starts taking out the 10,000 level, then we're probably into more of a more inconsistent type of technical pattern because it's pulling back into the previous range, and it hasn't done that for a while. And it could be more of a larger correction type of activity, whereas the rest of Asia is still really quite sanguine. And whereas the rest of Asia is relatively overextended compared to its moving average, we still have the progressions of higher lows, and we still have the higher lows really for Japan. But if it start and the higher lows at the moment are, I think, in the region of the 9,000 level. But if it starts to pull back below this 10,000 area, you really are giving the weight of evidence to a longer type of ranging activity in the current environment, rather than the kind of outperformance we've come to expect from some of those other Asian markets. Today was a relatively quiet day in the commodity markets. Gold continues to consolidate this impressive advance from 2 weeks ago around the 1,000 mark, pushed slightly below $1,000 in here today, finishing out the day at 998. Silver was a little bit easier in here today, but holding on to the majority of its gains over the last few weeks. And platinum has held its gain and the push through $1,300 that it completed last week. So it's relatively quiet, but we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside in precious metals, and gold still has plenty of potential. to advance in this type of environment, and particularly in view of the fact that that Bank of International Settlements report that I posted in Comment of the Day today, I found quite unsettling with the types of strategies that the Bank of England and the Fed are outlining to dispense with their massive positions in their respective sovereign markets. And on the one hand, you have the Fed talking about just holding on to them and leaving that stimulus in the market and attempting to finesse it in the repo market. And that strikes me as a very high-risk type of strategy. There's enormous potential for that to go wrong. And certainly we have central bankers all over the world talking about their vigilance on inflation, but saying that it's not going to happen anytime soon. But if they're willing to leave the stimulus in the economy for a protracted period, then the risk that is going to spark an inflationary problem for investors is a serious one. Of course, that may be their tacit intention because they've got some serious deficits, and the easy way to help diminish them would be to inflate away the problem, at least in part, and they're going to try and do that as covertly as possible. And there's a very similar story in the UK where they're talking about potentially raising interest rates at the same time that they are seeking to sell their big position in some of those gilt bonds. And that it also seems to be a very questionable strategy, because if they're talking about selling those bonds, that's going to push yields up, which will necessitate them having to raise interest rates if they want to borrow at any point in the future. So it's very much of a chicken and eggs type scenario, and that is either going to necessitate that they're not going to sell the bonds and hold on to them for longer, potentially have an inflationary problem, or be forced to raise interest rates too high too early and kill off the recovery that appears to be underway. So it's going to be a very, very delicate operation for central banks to unwind the quantitative easing that's been underway for the better part of a year. And the risks are really quite serious ones, that they're going to make a mess of it and spark an inflationary problem somewhere down the line. That's not an issue today, but it is certainly something that we need to keep very much to the front of our minds when we do start to see some of the stimulus being taken out of the global economy, probably sometime next year. What we see in the bond markets today was that treasuries were a little bit easier, pulling back below the 120 level again, and gilts were down by a quarter, and sorry, gilts were positive on the day just about, and the Eurobunds were down by about a quarter of 1 point. In the soft commodities, the grains were relatively quiet, and where the real action was in the Arabica coffee market, in the really massive upward dynamic, up 6.5 cents, up to 133, and really it's found support over the last week. And apparently this is on news of rains in the growing area of Brazil. And also of interest is the Robusta contract, which has rallied rather well over the last few weeks and is pushing now up to the progression of lower highs. And this is turning into a potential break of the downtrend that's been in place pretty much since the reconstituted contract was launched a bit more than a year ago. So coffee is where the interesting action is at the moment, and sugar has also firmed up a little bit in here. So the white sugar contract in London was up $8, and the US traded contract was up 0.8 of 1 cent, and it continues to range very close to its highs, and this range is going to break out one way or the other over the next few weeks, and it's probably worth watching for the move that does occur. With that, I think I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.